I don't know how many of you, and it's more like a, it's an old cartoon, and I've had to watch it now because I've got grandkids, but that Monster Inc., you know, where the, when they got that sock lands on that thing and they run out and shave them. That's what I think about every time somebody coughs now, you know. you just think somebody's going to tackle you and stick you in quarantine again, you know. And especially with the kids, there's all kinds that are out, you know, that are quarantining because they contract tracing, put them in with somebody, and then the family's got to stay home. We're just going to keep doing that. So I went and saw John yesterday, had a chance just to spend a little time with him, talked to Fran on the phone. Fran, did she make it home? I know she. They said earlier she's coming home. So that was really, but please keep praying for him. John's out. Now, he told me, when I looked at him, I was like, man, are you sure you're okay? But he said he's, what I'm seeing, he's doing better. So so just pray for him, okay? But he said that, you know, even though what I saw didn't look like he was doing all that great, he said it was worse the day before. So he can tell that it's starting to get better. They were almost on, he was on day 10. So he should have been over, and then it just kind of caught up to him. So I don't think there's anybody else that I know. Irvin and Lila's okay, right? They're out of the woods. They should be done. And Fran's coming home, so that must mean they have confidence that she's going to be okay. So, but obviously, I mean, it is, you know, it is going to be, I mean, we're going to drag this thing into Thanksgiving, you know. And, I mean, praise the Lord, we don't live in all. Pennsylvania just passed a law that if you go to Pennsylvania, then I don't know if they passed a law, but they said if you go to Pennsylvania, you have to get a COVID test within 72 hours. You know, I mean, so everybody's locking down, and it's going to make Thanksgiving a little bit different than what we're used to. But, you know, but then again, I guess what is that, right? I mean, you make the best of what you got and be thankful. And, you know, there's always something that you can find in your life that although this may not be what we want, you know, that there are things that are worse. You know, and so far we've not lost anybody, and I'll give God the credit for that. Any other prayer requests for this evening? Okay. 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 December, pray that he gets his passport in, it's like the 14th through the 16th, it's like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm going to fly down to Haiti and preach a Bible conference there. It's just short. Last year they had 700 people come to this Bible conference. It's a Haitian missionary, really good guy, really doing a good job over there. And so we're going to run down. There's a lot of, but since I've already had COVID, it makes it a little bit easier for me, and a lot of the guys that would normally preach this aren't able to do that. So it's Haiti's just an hour flight off the coast of Miami, so it's not. And I've been there before, just not with these guys. But would you pray for that God would use that? You know, if they're willing to come out and listen to it, we're gonna go down there and preach to them. So so pray for that. That'll be coming up Sunday night. Jake's preaching, so I'm looking forward to hear him. So I pray that God will use that young man. He's going to be doing that Sunday night. Any other prayer requests over here? Right. I did talk to Wes as well this week, and he said that his dad got transferred over there because he actually has COVID pneumonia. So Fran did not have that, so that was a really good. A really good plus. But I mean, it's starting to. What I mean, when you have 200 people a day getting it, it's moving. I mean, you can't deny that, right? So keep praying. You know, when I got it, and there was only like 34 or 35 cases in Scott County. Now I have lots of company. You know, I mean, before you asked me, hey, they got it? No, you know, but now you know. you can bump into a lot of people that have been through it, and God's been still good to our county. It could be worse. Anybody else? Okay. Yeah, he's the one that one night gave a testimony in here, remember him? Yeah, and he's dealing with cancer, so that doesn't need that headache. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. And I just thank you for continuing to be with our church. And Lord, there's a lot of people that have kids that are quarantined, or they're quarantined themselves, and or have COVID. And Lord, every church in our county is going through the same thing. And people are just trying to find some place to call normal. And I just thank you for loving us. Thank you for being able to continue to have church. And I just pray you be with the kids over there tonight. It's nice to be able to have something normal for them. And I pray you just watch over that tonight as they teach the kids over in Awanas. Lord, thank you for people that are able to be here tonight. Lord, I pray, continue to pray for John and Fran, that you would help them to get better, and just let them know we miss them and we're praying for them, and Lila and Irvin as well. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you know the folks in our church that would be really bad if they got it, and I just pray that you would keep your hand there. Lord, we can trust you for that. And Lord, just ask that you would continue to keep those folks safe and that they would not get it. Lord, I also pray that as we do go through this, that we'll let you use us, Lord, in a way to be an encouragement to other people. Pray for Tim tonight, who's battling with that, with his clot in his leg. Lord, that you would just help that to not be a problem for him. Lord, for Sarah's prayer request for her family. Lord, I'm sure there's unspoken prayer requests all over this room. And Lord, I just pray and ask that your will be done in each one of those, and that guidance and wisdom would be there. And Lord, just let them know the path that you want them to take. Lord, I just pray be with Jake preaching on Sunday night. And Lord, just come and trip up to Haiti. We'll be able to make that trip and get back okay. Lord, I pray for this young lady. Tim's got Dave's got a burden for it. Has been praying for her. And you know the situation there. Also pray that he'd get his passport back in time, that he could go with me. Lord, I just I want to thank you that we can come to you. It's just not something we tell ourselves, even though we cannot see you. Lord, no doubt we know that you're there. Your spirit bears witness with our spirit. And Lord, I want to thank you that I can point to things that I know without a doubt that you did them. Their prayer request and things that there's no human being would be able to know or do what you did. And Lord, I know now we have to have a relationship where we can't directly be with you. But looking forward to the day where that's not the case. And we're going to be in heaven with you in a place, Lord, that we don't have to share it with people that don't feel the same way about you that we do. Lord, where... there's not going to be an opposing side to that, and I'm looking forward to that. And I just thank you for loving us. I pray you'd be with us tonight as we navigate 1 Corinthians. And Lord, I just want to again thank you for everything you do for us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And we'll go ahead and dive into this tonight in 1 Corinthians. We were going to finish up a little bit of chapter 11. We got through most of that last time, and the part that we're at is the Lord's Supper, and we're not going to spend a ton of time on that, but we are going to talk a little bit about you know, how we do the Lord's Supper. There is a lot of things in the Bible that we do now that we do because it's our custom and tradition, but I don't know, like, for instance, when you talk about the Lord's Supper, I really cannot find anything that directly says that I'm to minister that the pastor has to be the one that ministers that. There's really not anything in here that says that it's a deacon's job to do that. That's just something that we do with our customs. The reason why I point that out is because when you go to the Catholic Church, there's only one person allowed to do that, and that's the priest. In fact, when they do communion, and now up until COVID, that kind of changed, but the actual wafer, see, they believe that the moment the priest prays for it, it turns into the literal body of Christ. So because of that, you're not allowed to touch it. So that's why there, if you ever see that or ever been to a Catholic service before or a Catholic wedding where they do that, the priest will take it and place it on their tongue. If that were to drop and hit the floor, the priest has to pick it up and eat it because in their mind, that actually becomes the literal body of Christ. So it's a big deal to them in their mind. And that's the reason why the priest is the only one that's allowed to do that, right? And then the frequency of it. They have communion every service. You go to a Lutheran church, they have it every service. You know, things like that, who administers it, you just really cannot find that in the Bible. And I think one of the reasons why God avoided that is because we're not in the Old Testament. We're not we don't worship a ceremony. The whole idea about communion, the whole thing revolves around taking an opportunity to thank the Lord for what he did. And before you tell the Lord thank you, before you go through that and you do that in remembrance of him, it would be mockery to do it when your life doesn't tell the Lord thank you. I mean, you can tell the Lord thank you all you want with your mouth, but not mean it in your heart, and it's just a senseless exercise. Now, at Slippery Rock, we did communion when I first got there. We did it the first Sunday of the month, every month, first Sunday of the month. And we did it on Sunday morning. And I started watching that. That Sunday morning was our biggest attendance out of all the other Sundays. So we quit doing it that way. I no longer put it in a bulletin and I no longer announced it. We did it, and we did it, you know, as often as we thought that it was good for that body of believers. But the reason why we changed it is because once it becomes a ritual, it becomes no longer what it was intended to do. For instance, if I celebrated your birthday every month, I mean, that'd be cool for the first few go-arounds. But after a while, that would be old. And the precedent of that would be if you watch Passover was a once-a-year thing. Now, I will tell you this, and I have pointed it out to you before. When Jesus was sitting at the Passover dinner, he had that bread in his hand. And he said, as oft as you eat this bread. Okay? He did not say, as oft as you eat bread. He said, so if I'm sitting there and I'm eating dinner and I pick up a piece of bread. Well, that was Passover. That was not ordinary bread. That's not bread they ate every day. That was a specific bread that had to be prepared a specific way, because it was Passover, all right? So it wasn't just bread that every time you pick up bread, you do that. He said they are observing Passover, right? So he picks up that Passover bread. He breaks that Passover bread, and he says, as oft as you eat this bread. Again, he didn't say as oft as you eat bread. He said as oft as you eat this bread. And here's something else. That is noted in the Old Testament. It says that the children of Israel were to observe the Passover forever. Okay? And it uses that word forever. Well, how do you get around that? Right? We don't sacrifice lambs anymore. Well, the way you get around it is that night, Jesus was actually changing. He was becoming the Passover lamb. So you still celebrate Passover, you don't need a real lamb because he is the lamb, right? So you could draw the conclusion that one time a year. Now, if you do it more, it's certainly nothing's wrong with that. And he's going to point that out here in the next chapter. There's certainly not wrong with that. You just don't want it to become a ritual. That's all. Because once it becomes a ritual, it loses its meaning. You know, and you guys kind of do it a little bit of the way I did it. You know, most of the churches I pastored, the pastor was the one who did it. And you know, after you've done so many, it almost becomes stand, sit, kneel. Because there's really only... So what I started doing is starting getting men in our church, not necessarily just deacons, just men in our church to come and just share from their heart a little bit, which makes it a little bit more personal than me doing the same thing over and over and over again, because you don't want it to be a ritual. You want it to be something that is a meaningful event where you stop and you say, hey, you know, I need to examine myself, you know? And then, so that's just a little bit of the background here, you know, because there's really not a mandate that tells us how to do it. He's addressing this because the way they were doing it was causing problems. I talked to you last week. They were actually like sitting down and having a whole meal. Okay, so let's go pick it up here in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And it only makes sense that he's saying that because he's observing the Passover. He is the Passover lamb, okay, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So they're breaking that bread. They're having Passover. And he says, as oft as you eat this, so it would only be one time a year. And he says, when you do this again next year, you do it in remembrance of me. Why did they do the Passover to begin with? What was the reasoning for doing that? To remember God bringing them out of Egypt. So they don't forget it. It was a big deal to them. Right? Well, something bigger just happened. Right? Okay? The Passover just happened. I mean, if you're going to remember being led out of Egypt, what about the whole world remembering being led out of sin? And, you know, so what happens next was even bigger than what happened in Egypt. That was just a picture and type of what Christ would one day do for everybody. And remember this. I know I'm going. I just think it's neat. Remember this. When what rule was the death angel given as it flew over Israel? They could not touch a house that had the blood on it. Do you notice it didn't say, okay, go to that house, and then you judge whether or not they are good people inside? Didn't say that. That wasn't a criteria. Good people miss this plague. That wasn't a criteria. The criteria was the blood. That blood had to be on that door. The only reason why the death angel did not go into those homes wasn't because they were good people. It wasn't because they were Jewish people. It had everything to do with that blood. And I just think that's very fascinating. It's not an accident. Because the only reason why I'm going to heaven, it isn't because I'm an American. It's not because I grew up in church. And it's not because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ is on the door. That's the only reason why I'm going to heaven, right? It'll never be anything to do with me, and always everything to do with him. There'll be no time in my life where I can be proud of anything of salvation that I did. Just the opposite. Thank God for the blood, right? You know, and so those two stories are what happened on the cross and what happened there in Egypt were intertwined. The God of heaven created a story here that would then link his son to that forever and be a picture for you and I to look back on. Okay? So he goes on to say this, to eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After just the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now, if Jesus would have simply died on the cross, like, could he have been ran over by a camel and saved the world? No. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Now, you're going to have to ask God why it's like that, but it is. It's not just the death of Christ. It's the blood of Christ. Okay? It's not, you couldn't have hung him. The blood had to be spilled. Because, now remember, it's all a picture. Everything that was done in that Old Testament, as far as that priest walking into the mercy seat and taking blood and putting it on that mercy seat, that was screaming of a bigger picture. And there's something much bigger going on in that realm than we'll ever know till we get there. That when that curse went into effect, the only thing that could ever break that curse was the blood of one man, and only one man could do it. And that was Jesus. And that death would then reverse that curse, which is why the devil got involved, right? Okay? He didn't want that to happen. It's not just the death, it's the blood. Okay, it's the blood of Christ. His blood had to be spilt for us. And then that blood had to be administered to the mercy seat in heaven, which I believe absolutely 100% dead. And it was, but without the shedding of blood, it's not just, because you can die without shedding blood, right? And remember, it's really important the Jews weren't allowed to eat the blood. Well, why weren't they allowed to eat the blood? Because he said the life is in the blood, okay? And it's just a really cool picture, and that's really what happens when we take of the Lord's Supper is you're just drawing back to what happened in Egypt was just a precursor to him dying for the world. Okay, so wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Well, those are pretty big words, right? Now, truth be known, we probably have taken communion when we probably shouldn't have taken communion. I can't speak for everybody, but I'm sure I have, right? Been doing it too long, you know, even as a kid. I didn't drop dead, and that's only because of the grace of God. But it should not be something that you take lightly. I mean, if you're not 100% in, I mean, you shouldn't do it. I mean, I'm not saying you've got to be perfect. But it, if you know that you're going to do that, then you should take the time to make sure that you've spent some time with the Lord and have taken care of something. And then if something's not right, then don't do it. You know, now that takes some guts, because even though you're not supposed to do this, it happens. Did you see so-and-so? They didn't take communion today. Really, honestly, it's none of our business, right? It says, I mean, I've had people come up to me before. There was a couple, they would sit on the front row and they were living together. He would take communion, she wouldn't. Well, they were living together. I did my little thing there where you're supposed to do and tell them, hey, don't do that. Okay? Outside of that, I am not the communion police. Right? I mean, I'm not going to go down and say, okay, Dave, what'd you do this week? All right, tell me the truth. I'm not the communion police. How in the world am I supposed to know what's inside your heart? That's the reason why the Bible says, let every man, you know what that says, let every man examine himself. And then if you can look at God and say, hey, we're good, and then knock yourself out. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to go, wow. Now, obviously, if I was him, I'd be a little nervous about taking that. But he felt like he could do it. Now, I'll tell you that what. Eventually, they ended up getting married. In fact, I was flying back from Africa. I landed on Valentine's Day. I just flew halfway across the world, right? And they said, we want to get married today. I told my wife, you're kidding me. I just landed from a 17-hour plane flight in a third world country. I don't want to do anything. But because of it was them, I did that. I went to their house and did those kinds of things. I, I think that it's better to do, I mean, I'll marry them, but I think it's better to do it at home or in my office or whatever. So I went to their house and I did their wedding. And that night I looked at him and I said, you know, today's a special day. I says, from the time you got saved, today you can actually really tell the Lord that you love him. I mean it. Because you can't tell the Lord you love him if you know you're going to do something he doesn't want you to do the moment you walk out that door. Right? That's a problem. If you're living together and you can sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and not be bothered by the fact that you're going to go do something wrong and not be convicted about it, then that's a problem. Right? I mean, that's going to cause some conflict, you know, if it's like that. You know, all of us can say that. If we know there's something that we shouldn't do but is in our life and we walk out the doors with zero plan to change it, then we certainly don't need to be taking communion right then, right? Because it doesn't mean anything. It just, all it is a ritual. And the world's full of senseless rituals that don't mean anything. Okay? Let a man examine himself and let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Now, when I was a kid and the pastor read that, I was like, oh, don't want nothing to do with that. That doesn't sound like something I want to experience. For this cause many are weak and sick among you. Now, do you believe that verse? Do you think it's lost? Well, number one, thank the Lord it was in the New Testament because everybody would say it's the Old Testament. Do you think that it's possible, or am I off base, that people could actually be sick today? Because I didn't write it. And it's not in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Right? So I don't know. I just know what it says. Because of this cause, taking the Lord's Supper, and being in a position where you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper, that it does have an effect on you physically. Right, I'm not willing to be the guinea pig on that. But now I also do believe this. I also believe in the grace of God, and I also believe that we won't know till we get to heaven, and I find out, that's why that happened to me. You know, and then look and say, that's why that got better, because I started to get serious for God. That's why that happened. Oof. You know, oh, wow, look at that. Things started to take a corner because I started paying. So if you think, well, what if that is the case? Well, then you know what I would do? I would run to the other side of this and hold on to the grace of God, and the grace of God can reverse that stuff, right? But it's always a verse that you ought to at least look at and pay a little attention to because, you know, I wouldn't want to have that. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Well, that sleep means that, you know, they just died. Okay? For if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, so I like verse 32. If you as a Christian get to the place where your heavenly Father no longer corrects you, then you're probably dead and in heaven, right? So now what changes is this, right? Jonathan's 28. I don't spank him anymore because it would take too much energy to do so. Out of respect, he may let me try. It wouldn't hurt him. But to say that I don't go to my son at 28 and say, hey, that might not be the world's best idea. Well, yeah, because I'm always going to be his dad, right? If he's 28 or 48 or 58 or 108. Now, when he was younger, it wasn't always that easy, you know? Now that he's getting older, it's funny how now he'll call me and he'll say, hey, before I do this, what do you think, right? I mean, that's kind of cool to get to that spot. I like to kill him doing it, but, you know, because now he's, but I will always do that. And now I am 51 and somebody's son. You know, now my dad lives in Florida, I don't get to see him anymore, but to say that I couldn't still learn at 51 would be crazy. Of course I can. Now you take that spiritually. Nobody will ever arrive. You can't, you won't do that. So every church service, you can always learn something about yourself. You choose whether or not you do that. There will always be something there that every human being can work on. Now, you might not just get to the point where you can't see that. But just know this, as long as you're a human being, you will do things that maybe you should. The older you get, they may start changing in the nature of that. The mistakes that you made when you're younger probably aren't going to continue to do that. But to say that you got to the point that you can actually sit in a church service and there's nothing that you need to correct in your life, as long as you're in that body, there will always be something to work on. Okay? There will always be something to work on. And because God loves us, he will always chasten us. Now, that might just simply be a talk. It doesn't have to be a rock from heaven. All right? But you never want to get to the spot where you can't go to the Lord and say, hey, is there anything that I need to work on? I mean, you're my dad. You know me better than anybody else. You know, and to listening to that chasten so that we don't get into a spot that God has to go further with that, right? Okay. It says, for this cause, verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together on the condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Yeah, wouldn't you like to have showed up for that church service? He's like, that's way, I've got to end this chapter, go on to the next one. And he says, because what they did is they began to take something that in the Bible that was special, and they began to allow it to become a ritual that got out of hand. Nothing we do in church, the only thing that ought to be worshipped in church is God, right? The rest of it is a system, all right? And we as human beings can get that wrong, okay? So we don't, like I talked to you about the fellowship hall over there. Now, whether you have a fellowship hall, I mean, how in the world could that be wrong? Because you attached it, I mean, there's what? How many feet between us and in that building over there? But at one time, in churches, that was a really big, bringing an organ in, a really big deal, right? When checks first came out, really big deal. There's all, I like putting words on, I had a lady in my church, I don't know if she's gone to heaven or not, but she said, if you ever put those words on a screen, I'm leaving. You know, now that'd be a dumb reason to leave a church just because you put the words of a song on a screen. It certainly wouldn't be a biblical reason to leave the church. Just that kind of stuff, don't worship that. You know, I mean, I know they even made a song about, I mean, how in the world could it be a sin to read words off of a wall versus off of a book, right? I mean, in one way, it gets your face out of the book and up to everybody else saying, hey, that's just a personal preference, and it certainly shouldn't get in the way of fellowshipping with anybody, right? But that's the kind of stuff that he's dealing with here that got out of hand and why he had to go through this whole Lord's Supper thing. Okay, chapter 12. We'll go a little bit into here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. You know, now he's pointing out that something that they used to do, and he wasn't, reminded me, he had a little bit of Billy Mitchell in him. You know, I mean, he didn't just say idols, he said dumb. Now, dumb two ways. Not only were they dumb, but they couldn't hear, they couldn't speak, they couldn't talk. Okay? Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, I like that. Many people want to say, you know, what if a Christian doesn't show any fruit? Can he still be saved? Well, sure. You know, why would you come to the Lord? Why would you ask Christ to save you if you didn't want to be saved? Right? Well, because I've heard people say, well, I prayed and Jesus just wouldn't save me. Or he just didn't save me. I can't find that in here. And if it was in there, I'd tell you about it. I just can't find that in there. All right? I mean, if you come to Jesus and you ask him to save you, number one, you're not going to do that without the help of the Lord. And that's what he's saying right here. He's saying that. I mean, the devil's going to tell you to do that? No. So, see, look what he's saying here, that it says here, where to go? Verse 3, wherefore I give you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So somebody that's got the Spirit in them is never going to say that. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord. Look at that part. And this is a really important part to remember in your Bible. No man can say Jesus is Lord, but by what? The Holy Ghost. So if Alan comes to me and says, hey, I want to get saved. And I say to Alan, do you believe that Jesus is Lord? And he says, yes. What does that just say? No man can do that except for what? The Holy Spirit. So then I say, okay, Alan, let's pray. And you ask Christ to save him. And then he gets up and he says, well, I don't think he saved me. Well, then now we got a problem. Because that just said, no man acknowledges Jesus is Lord except the Holy Ghost. Okay? Why would you do that? All right, why would you go forward and say, hey, I need to get saved? Then why would you say, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe he died on the earth. And then why would you say, dear Jesus, save me? And then get up and feel like he did not do what he said he was going to do. Because see, because now how are you measuring that? Right? People's emotions are different. You cannot rely on that. Okay? You know, if you didn't cry the day you got saved, are you still saved? Well, sure you are. Right? It doesn't say in Romans that if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart the Lord Jesus and you cried, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say that. What are you leaning on? What are you trusting on when you get up from that prayer that God keeps his word? You just asked him to do something from your heart that we got out of that book. Right? Past that, you have to trust him. Now, if you can't trust him to keep, and what are you looking for? A feeling? No, because feelings are all over the charts. Right? And by the way, wouldn't you agree you don't stay married because of a feeling? I mean, how long would that last? Right? Okay? I mean, kids, they're not puppies. You can't take them back to the pound and go, that was a mistake. Then, no, this thing is going to go to the bathroom all over the floor all the time. Changed my mind. Huh? I'm not ready for a dog. You can't do that. But there are days as a parent where you think, what was I doing? Right? Because you can't go by that emotion thing. Well, you certainly can't go by that with here either. And I just thought that was really neat. That was one of those places that I want to remember where it's at, because that just tells me something. No man can say that without the Holy Ghost. So if somebody's saying that, there's a power behind that that's causing him to do that. Okay, on to the next one. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation. I like that. This diversity of operation, that lets us know that there are some leeway into church. You know, there's really not very, very little about church government in the Bible. Very, very, very little. Okay, most of that, we just got to do our best. But what's cool about it is, when you see words like this, there are different operations. One church may do it this way. One church may pray out loud when they come to an altar prayer. One church may not. Does it make one different or the other, or one better or the other? Okay, as long as it fits in the guidelines that we're not worshiping those things, then that body of believers wants to do that, and it's an honoring thing to God, then there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? And see, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God. All right, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing. Now, like the gift of faith, you know, God, it says that he gives to some. But that is not a faith like the faith you got saved by, because that wouldn't make any sense. And these gifts, they're things that, I mean, some people believe you can only have one. Well, I can't find that in the Bible. Some people believe that, you know, you just find your one gift, and that's the gift that you do, and then that's a cop-out for not doing anything else. Can't find that in here either. Because people will say, "Well, that's just not my gift." Well, that's an easy road. I just don't know if it's very biblical, right? The gift of faith. Okay, for instance, because of the things that I've been through, and the same things the Lord has shown me, you know, if you like praying for that $1 million and watching God do that, obviously seeing that, it's maybe easier for me to walk out on that limb, because I've been on that limb before and it didn't fall. These things are things that come along as you grow in Christ. You may start off with one gift, and the closer you get to God, the more he works on you, he allows you to manifest another gift. Okay? All right? But all of these things are something that he does in us. It's not something that we would ever get on our own, okay? It's just something that he allows us to see, and it's his power that's behind it. Okay, to another, verse 10, and to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of the tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And he's going to go on and say, okay, yes, there are different gifts, and people are going to have an ability it may seem like they're better at something, but it's not actually, they're not doing it to begin with, so it's not that they're better. It's just the way that God's chosen to use them. Now, you know, and once you realize that, you've got to use that. Let me tell you something. I cannot sing. It is without a doubt Heather can. We all witnessed that together. I mean, I can sing, right? But you're probably not going to ask me to keep singing hymns over and over again. You may tolerate it. But may I tell you something? I really believe with all my heart that there are people that God's given the ability to do that in a way I can't do it. But how many times does that ability sit quiet in a pew and God doesn't get to use it because that person won't acknowledge? If you can do something really well, it's not you. It's not you. If you can teach, it's not you. If you can sing, it's not you. If you're good with people, it's not you. That is something that God gave you. Okay? So if God gives it to you, then you by right have to respect that and use it for him, because now that may benefit you. Somebody that could sing may very well be able to sell a record. Not happening to me, but they may very well be able to sell a record. Okay? Well, you know, I'm not introverted in the least of the way. In fact, the other way that drives my kids and my wife nuts, why do you have to talk to an absolute stranger? Okay? I didn't ask for that. That is just simply the way God made me. And because of that, I have to use that to his honor and glory, or I'm going to get in trouble. Okay? Now, it would benefit me. I could probably do good in sales. That's basically what you do every Sunday, right? And it's funny that a lot of pastors when they retire or whatever, they end up being used car salesmen. It's because that's a gift, right? You know, I mean, it's funny, but it just simply seems it has to do. A lot of pastors are good at sales. Why? Because it's the way he wired. But what he's saying is, first, one's not more important than the other, and whatever it is that you're to use it for God, that's the reason why in churches. I don't think God's given the gift of sitting. I don't think that's a gift. There is something that everybody can do. Something, somewhere your gift can be used if you let it. I am not organized. I don't know if you knew that about me. I'm not. Now, you might not think organization is a gift. It absolutely is. I struggle at that. It's painful for me. I mean, if I got to do, and I have to do paperwork for Africa, 10, 15 minutes, I can't take it. I mean, my head's screaming, I got to get up and do something, right? Well, but I have to have somebody that can organize that mess. There's no way I can keep up with it. And there are people that God has brought into my life that are extremely organized to the other degree. They're not really great people. But man, they can organize. And they have saved me more than once. And I am thankful. Well, just the other day, I had a really good idea. Boy, I'd like to give something to the veterans. Well, Obi, I didn't make that little brochure. In fact, I don't even know what it looked like, as long as it got you dinner. But I called Justin. Now, Justin's probably in the nearest probably isn't begging me to teach Sunday school, right? But I called him Sunday night, because that's when the idea popped in my head. I called him about 10 o'clock. And you know what? He didn't hang up on the phone. He got on the computer and made those little things. And then I called Matt, who's also really good at organization. I said, hey, he made it. Can you print it out? No problem. And then somebody put it in an envelope. And all I did was say, hey, Chris, hand that to Hobie, would you? Hey, thanks for your... Well, I did not do that by myself. Okay? I mean, I would have had to write it with crayon. I didn't do it by myself. And I'm really glad that there was somebody that I could go to, that's what they can do. And it was very beneficial to me. Well, that's the way the whole... Believe me, because it says it. Everybody has something, some part that they can do to a local church and get involved in that local church if they'll just look for that. Ask God, what is something that you know that you were good at, and let God use that, right? If you've got a mind to build, well, I don't know a church in the world that doesn't have some kind of need somewheres, you know, for that. You can go on down the road. Believe me, anything that you do, there is a spot for that in a local church. But you've got to be willing to let God use that. All right, let's go down for a little bit more. For the body is not one member, but many. It's not the pastor. Okay, in fact, actually, what is the pastor? What is he? Some people, I don't know if they, you know what the biblical definition of the word is? Servant. That's what a pastor is. See, God loves you, Jesus loves you, but he's not here. He left. And he said, okay, Dave, I want you to be a pastor. So what does that entail? A spot of, he said, those are my sheep. You take care of them and you love on them. They're not your sheep. They're mine. And I want you to take care of them. Right? And that's the job of a pastor, is to be a servant to his people. Okay, and that just entails lots of areas. It's to be there not only in the good, but it's you got to be around the sheep in order to do that. It's taking care of them, whether they're having a baby or they got a kid that's not living right. You can put a million things in there, right? But the church is not the pastor. In fact, the pastor would not have anything to do if it wasn't for the sheep. Those people in that church make a church. That's what makes the body, is the people. So, and I'll say this as close, because I got 5 minutes. All right, so let's say I'm new to Scott County, just moved here. Well, where do I go to church? Well, there's 90 of them. So if you tried, it would take you 2 years if you visited every church just about, right? Okay, so how do you pick it? When you walk through a door, what makes you say, that's the place I want to go? Believe me, it has got more to do with you than it does me. Right? It's got more to do with you than it does me. Because you're the body. They're going to join you. Okay? So it's our job to make this. I mean, and how do you determine where do you go to church? Right? Okay, especially if there's other churches that are preaching the same thing you're preaching. It's the connection, especially when it's somebody where you don't know everybody around. It's the connection that you're joining. Okay, I'm going to join that body of believers. That, I mean, why would you join someplace if you don't even like the people that are in it? That would be silly. Well, now, if your mindset is, all I'm going to do is come and sit in a pew Sunday, well, I guess. But that's not the biblical model of this. I'm going to join, and now I'm going to be fused together in this body with you to function as one unit to do something for the Lord for eternity. Okay? So it's not just me coming every Sunday or putting money in the offering plate every Sunday that makes that a body. It's then that body coming together as one unit, and then doing something together. All right, that's what he's gonna hammer that home through the rest of this chapter. And he's gonna talk about that there's no insignificant members in the church, that every single one of them are important because it works as a whole. Right? So on Sunday, what we're here is we're a body, and we want the body to grow, right? I mean, that's a body that's okay if it gains weight. Let it grow, right? But when it grows, so when somebody would join Slippery Rock, I would always say these two words to them. I would say, it is going to be a pleasure to serve your family. But then I would always say this, we are also looking forward to how God's going to use you in our church. Because to be a part of the body means you have a function. That's what that means. You have a function. Right? Not just in attendance, a function. And that function in that church helps the body. And as that body pulls together in unity, then you can turn around and do more with the Lord. That's the reason why in here it talks about there can't be any division. You know, there can't be, have you ever, you know, I know lots of you, this is probably the only church you've ever been in, but there's churches with cliques. If you're not part of this clique or part of this group or part of this, then you're on the outside. That's got zero place here. Right? There are no cliques. I mean, and I know that the goal ought to be the best of your ability. Try to get around, and COVID's really kind of messed us up there. Try to get around and at least say hi to the other part of the body. Right? Okay? Because we don't want that. We want everybody to feel welcome here. We want everybody to feel important here. We want everybody to feel like we care about them. We want everybody to feel that if God put them in this church and they're here because God wants them here, and there is a purpose for them. And then now you take that in harmony, which is difficult when you got people, right? But then that's where we die to self. We die to that. We love our neighbors better than ourselves. And we come together as this beautiful unit that God chose so that we can go out there and show the world that he loves them and he cares about them. And then with that gospel, you add more people to the body. Okay, Brother Arnold, close us in prayer.